Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, and please call him Sully, every day for Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past, featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, and insightful analysis on the day's biggest stories. Locked On MLB is the best single source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. How's it going, everyone? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast. Today is Wednesday, May 12th, 2021, coming off a Phillies 6-2 win down in D.C. against the Washington Nationals. They take game one of this three-game series against the Nats. The first series against the Nationals all season long, which seems very weird, as I mentioned on yesterday's podcast, how they've played the Mets nine times, they've played the Braves nine times. This is the first time they're getting the Washington Nationals, and this is a Nationals team that has not had a strong start to the season. They're sitting there in last place in the National League East. This is not the same team that won the World Series 2 years ago. And this is a team that has struggled to put up a lot of runs. And you saw that again on Tuesday night when Chase Anderson probably had his best start of the season. Now, and we'll get to the whole game and recapping everything that happened this game in a little bit. But I wanted to start with the Phillies won this game going away from the script of how games usually go this season. A lot of times they score runs early, and then they fail to keep their foot on the gas pedal, and through missed opportunities and maybe a late blunder or two, or a starter who doesn't get stretched out, or what I feel to be a bad managerial switch by Joe Girardi, and we had another one of those in this game that I'll also get to just a little bit later. But it seems like they score a lot of runs early, and then, or maybe just a couple of runs early, it never proves to be enough. The other team comes back in the game, and they blow it late, right? This Phillies team has led in just about all of the games they've played thus far this season. And for a while there, it looked like this game was following the script. First of all, Bryce Harper in a homecoming against the Nationals in Nats Park, where he, of course, played the majority of his career thus far. Top of the first inning, he comes up. He hits a home run in this game. So Phillies already out to a 1-0 lead. They put up another couple of runs in the third and the fourth, and they got a 3-0 lead, right? Well, we fast forward to the sixth inning where this team left three runners on base. They had bases loaded with nobody out and go down 1-2-3. The Nationals quickly respond with two runs of their own. Like, this was shaping up to be another classic 2021 Phillies loss where they don't get enough runs, they don't capitalize on their opportunities, and we're talking about another miserable game on the road where the Phillies don't rise to the occasion. And this is not a big-time game. I run the theory yesterday about how this team doesn't have a lot of winners on it, and Joe Girardi is supposed to fill that void in big games. I wouldn't call a game, I mean, it is a big game. It's a divisional opponent, and those games always mean something, but I would not call this a big game the same way I would call a weekend series or a Sunday night baseball game against the Atlanta Braves down in Truist Park a big game. Like, I think that has its own level of importance. That's the defending National League champions. That team went seven with the Dodgers last year. Like, there is an understood cachet with that team that's saying, look, they are the team to beat still in this division as far as I'm concerned. I bet as far as they're concerned, they act like they're the defending NL East champs. They haven't played so far. They haven't played the season thus far like they are. But ultimately, that's the team you have to get through. That's a raucous crowd, packed house down in Atlanta, and they never seem to do well there. And this team doesn't do well on the road in general. But they go to D.C. It's back to a 25% crowd. The Nationals are not the same team they were a few years ago. But still, these are wins against a team you need to figure out how to beat and stockpile just success against a team like this. You're going to play 19 times. And this was the first of 19 times. They were going up a starter in Eric Fetty, who is very, very beatable. And the Phillies find a way to win this game. And the best part about this entire game in general is that they eventually pile on runs late in the game. In the eighth inning, they made the lead 4-2, then 6-2. Again, I'll run through the entire play-by-play of this game and the specifics of it in the second segment of the program. But this was a game where they did all of the things that basically I've been complaining about. They got a good start out of their starter in Chase Anderson. He goes five innings, allows just two runs, just 85 pitches, five strikeouts. He looked very, very good. At one point, he had retired, I think it was 15 batters in a row. I mean, he literally hadn't allowed a hit since the first inning. So this was a very, very good start from Chase Anderson, kind of just breezing up and down batters left and right. And he really went out there and pitched just about as well as we've seen him in a Phillies uniform. And I should amend that stat. It was not 15 batters in a row, but he had not allowed a hit since the first inning, and he did have a hit-by-pitch there in the fourth. But it certainly felt like he was cruising through that Nationals lineup. So we're looking at a game where the Phillies had some missed opportunities, finally come back late. Again, I thought there was a blunder. I didn't think it was necessarily a good decision the way Girardi managed Chase Anderson. I'll get to that a little bit later. But I'm very, very happy with this team's ability to respond in this game. This is a team that a lot of times I feel fails to respond. I thought they had a failed opportunity to respond on Sunday Night Baseball behind their team and their ace, their one of their highly regarded pitchers, and they talk about him like he's an ace, and everyone wants him to be an ace, and he puts up ace-like numbers, but every time he's put in a big-time game like that, it seems like he comes up a little bit short. And he goes on Sunday night in Atlanta, and Aaron Nola allows four runs in the first inning, and the Phillies don't have a punch to throw back. It seems like when this team gets down, they don't necessarily claw their way back into games. Usually the way it goes is this team gets a lead. As I mentioned, they've led in almost all games so far this season. And then they let the other team slowly start clawing back. And that was not the case in Atlanta. They were never in that game basically from the jump, besides the opening home run by Andrew McCutchen. This was another test for this team. They had a day off to think about it. Sometimes that could be a good thing. Sometimes that could be a bad thing. But they're still on the road. They still had 24 hours off, just basically away from baseball. And they come back behind not one of their better pitchers, a back end of the rotation guy in Chase Anderson. They were going up against the back end of the rotation guy for the Nationals and Eric Fetty. And they come out on top, scoring runs late, winning this one by 6-2. I think it was a great, great response by this Philadelphia Phillies team. And now, look at the opportunity they have. They actually, just like that, they have the opportunity, again, to actually win a road series for the first time dating back to last year. They haven't done it so far this season. They actually have the chance to win a series on the road. Can you even imagine that? Think of all the series they've played this far on the road. The only time they haven't lost a road series, per se, was they split 2-2 from St. Louis. And we know for the longest time this team would win one, lose one, win one, lose one. Just get me one of the next two. Get me one of these next two games against the Nationals that'll go to 500 on the road trip. And then again, we'll worry about this Toronto series in Dunedin coming up this weekend once we get through the Nats. But just get me two of three from this Nationals team. You're not even seeing Max Scherzer in this series. You have the two Zachs who have pitched very, very well so far this season coming up in the next 2 days, and Zach Wheeler and Zach Eflin. There's no good reason why this Phillies team cannot win at least one of the next two, if not sweep this series. This was almost, I could argue, the biggest game they had to get behind Chase Anderson. And given the way the game fluctuated, I'll say, given that it looked like they were going to let the Nationals come back in this game, they ultimately put them to bed late. I think this was a huge, huge win for this team. And it's funny to react that way about a random Tuesday night game in May against the last place ball club. But I think this was a much needed, perhaps confidence-boosting win, and I'm sure I'll totally reverse on that 24 hours from now when this team finds a way to lose on Wednesday night against the Nationals. But I think it's big. I think there are so many... We can count the wins and losses at the end of a 162 baseball game season, right? Every win and every loss, theoretically, amounts to the same thing. But I think sometimes there can be wins that are bigger than others. And I'm not just talking about what team you do it against. I think there can be a morale of the clubhouse factor of, well, we needed a win here to remove the mental stigma of what happened in Atlanta on Saturday and that they didn't respond on Sunday. Because if they lost this game on Tuesday following the off day, now we're sitting here saying on Wednesday they're getting back into must-win territory. And the clubhouse, the spirits are low because they were embarrassed and somehow managed to not win that series against the Braves. And they go down to Washington, or they really came up from Atlanta to Washington, and they couldn't find a way to beat them either. Now their backs are against the wall, basically to just try and compete and salvage another road series instead of delivering that first punch. They did this in Washington, D.C. I think it's as big of a win as you could possibly have against the last place team in May. I thought it was a very, very good win. Again, we will recap this whole thing. There were some close calls in this one, a decision I didn't like from Joe Girardi, and the Phillies almost let the Nationals back in this game. I'll get to all of that on the other side of the break. But first, I want to tell you about my friends at Sports Trade. Have you guys heard about Sports Trade? It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. This is amazing. Sports Trade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like Robin Hood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players, just like real stocks. Finally, a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. And they just added baseball to the platform, so be sure to check that out today. Making money with Sports Trade is as simple as player values rising and falling based on two factors. One, their statistical performance in each game as compared to the projected points in that game. The more points they score, the higher their value goes. Two, it's good old supply and demand. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. When you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock in a rookie with huge upside, or grab that blue chip vet who always is a solid performer. Instantly buy and sell as many shares and as many players as you'd like, just like the stock market. Then watch your players battle and see your portfolio value rise. Simply go to sportstrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. Sign up today at sportstrade.com. Discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new way of world sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You will be amazed. Don't sit on the sideline any longer. Get in the game at sportstrade.com. Also want to tell you about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, plus the occasional limited time flavor? When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors by now, well, you're certainly missing out. There's coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, so there's something for everyone. And if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mix box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carbs. Order today, get that raspberry or the mint brownie or whatever flavor you think you might like. Go to BuiltBar.com, use that promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your next order. One last time, that's LOCKED15 for 15% off your order at BuiltBar.com. Recapping a Phillies 6-2 win over the Washington Nationals in Game 1 of a 3-game set down at Nats Park. Again, they had an off day on Monday, so trying to bounce back from a bad series down in Atlanta. And in typical Phillies fashion, they got out to a lead. Top half of the first, Bryce Harper and another homecoming at Nats Park. He hits a home run in his first at-bat. Phillies out to a quick 1-0 lead. Go to the bottom half of the first, Chase Anderson settled in, you know, quite nicely. He allowed 2 hits to Trey Turner and Juan Soto. It looked like that he was going to get into a little bit of trouble, but he gets Josh Bell to strike out, Kyle Schwarber to pop out, and Yan Gomes to ground out. And then after that, he basically just went through the entire Nationals order, 3 up, 3 down, with the exception of hit by pitch, for the majority of the remainder of his outing. We'll get to that in the second. No scoring in the second. It was a 1-2-3 inning in the bottom of the second for Chase Anderson. Top half of the third, Phillies add to their lead. It started with a Segura ground out in the inning. Harper walked. Then there was a Realmuto foul out down the right field line. And with 2 outs, Brad Miller singles. That moved Harper to second. And Rhys Hoskins with a nice piece of hitting. And he's been slumping lately. So certainly good to see him put some nice wood on the ball and drive it to center field. He gets a single to right center field. That brings in Bryce Harper. Phillies quickly up 2-0. Once again, the Nats go down 1-2-3 in the bottom of the third. Top of the fourth, Phillies adding to their lead again. Odubel Herrera starts out the inning with a double, and if you're a fan of small ball, you're going to love how the rest of this inning goes. Chase Anderson with a little sacrifice bunt. He gets the bunt down, moves Odubel Herrera to third. Andrew McCutchen with a sacrifice fly to left. Odubel Herrera scores. The Phillies are up 3-0 in this game. Chase Anderson faces 4 batters in the bottom half of the fourth. It was a Kyle Schwarber hit by pitch, but a ground out, a strikeout, and a foul out to Bell, Gomes, and Castro, respectively, quickly gets through the fourth. Top half of the fifth, Phillies go down in order. Bottom half of the fifth, the Nationals go down essentially in order, or go down actually in order, and they had a pinch hitter. Yadiel Hernandez came out. He flew out to center to end the bottom half of the fifth inning. The sixth inning is where things got interesting, and it was a big-time pivotal point in the game. And this is what I wanted to highlight, especially from the perspective of manager Joe Girardi. So the Nationals go to their bullpen. They used a pinch hitter. They had to go to their bullpen. So they go to Sam Clay. Rhys Hoskins reached on a Trey Turner fielding error at shortstop, so he gets on base. Gregorius reaches on an infield single. So now they got first and second. Odubel Herrera walks. He reached base four times in this game, a hit, a double, pair of walks. So finally getting some production out of the center field spot. And he by far is giving the Phillies the most production that they've seen from center field all season long. He's been swinging the bat a lot better than that first week he was here, and better than any center fielder has for the Phillies so far this season. It seems like for the time being, he is here to stay. So the Phillies have bases loaded, nobody out. Now here's the pivotal point in the game. Chase Anderson, up to this point, has allowed zero runs and gone five innings and hasn't allowed, he allowed a pair of base hits, but hasn't allowed a hit in the first inning. So like the best we've seen out of Chase Anderson all season long. But we also know that Chase Anderson, that he's typically about a five inning pitcher. He doesn't stretch out that deep into games. But with bases loaded, nobody out, Phillies up three, and a chance to really blow the game open, Joe Girardi elects to have him hit. He flies out to left. The Nationals change pitchers. They go to Will Harris. McCutchen strikes out. And Gene Segura with maybe the at-bat of the year, and it's unfortunate that it ended. Him and Will Harris going at it. 14 pitches in this at-bat. Fouling off pitch after pitch after pitch after pitch after pitch. The final five pitches of this at-bat were foul. This game as a whole took just about 4 hours to play, and perhaps a reason. 370 pitches, 74 total foul balls in this game between the two teams. This wasn't even the only 14-pitch at-bat in the game. Trey Turner, later in the game, worked a 14-pitch at-bat. This was, if you're a fan of slow-moving baseball and a lot of methodical battles, and again, just a lot of good at-bats, a lot of deep counts, a lot of working pitchers, and I'm always a fan of that, but the game does take a lot longer that way. This was certainly the game for you. So Segura works a 14-pitch at-bat. He hits a line drive to center field. Unfortunately, ends with a line out to center. Again, a very good at-bat by Gene Segura, but nothing to show for it. That's just unfortunately baseball sometimes. But the bigger story here is that the Phillies had bases loaded with nobody out and didn't score any runs. And I'm sitting here saying, here we go again. This is typical Phillies fashion. Can't put the foot on the gas pedal, can't put the team away. The Nationals are going to find a way to get back in this game somehow. And it's all because with nobody out and a chance to blow the game open, you have a guy like Alec Bohm on your bench. You have a guy like Andrew Knapp on your bench. Like, you could easily go to someone who isn't Chase Anderson. You have Nick Maton on your bench as well. You could go to someone who isn't Chase Anderson to try and blow this game open. Instead, he elects to hit Anderson to keep him in the game, try and go past five innings, which he very rarely does and certainly hasn't done this season, so he can go into the sixth. So let's see if the move proved worth it. He goes in the sixth inning, and immediately you can feel a momentum shift in this game. Phillies left the bases loaded, stranded. Immediately, he surrenders a home run to Trey Turner. He allows a Juan Soto walk, and immediately Chase Anderson is out of the game. So just to recap, he hit in the fifth inning. Joe Girardi allowed Chase Anderson to hit in the fifth inning with the bases loaded, nobody out, a chance to really start a rally, blow the game open. And instead, he decided to keep him in the game to try and stretch him out in the sixth, and a home run and a walk later, and that was enough to get Chase Anderson out of the game. In many other games would prove costly. Fortunately, the Phillies got away with it in this particular case. So Juan Soto walk, Coonrod comes in. It's been very good for the Phillies so far this season. Has not been good with inherited runners. He allowed another inherited run to score, so that closes the line on Chase Anderson. He allows two runs because Soto came around on a single to right after moving up to second base on a Josh Bell groundout. And now the Phillies are yet again in another one-run game because they couldn't blow the game open when they had the chance with bases loaded and nobody on in an inning that started, nobody out with the bases loaded and an inning that started with an error. They couldn't capitalize, and now here come the Nationals, and here's a typical Phillies team and a typical Phillies game in 2021 where they score early and they can't put up runs late. Well, so after six, it's 3-2. Top of the seventh, Phillies do not score. Bottom half of the seventh, this was an inning where Trey Turner is now drawing a 14-pitch walk, and it was a good night for the bullpen overall. Brandon Kinstler got work. Jose Alvarado was actually the one going up against Trey Turner in this 14-pitch walk. In the first 13 pitches, he looked pretty good. And unfortunately, it was that 14th pitch that just airmailed, went to the backstop. But he was consistently pumping 101, 102 on the radar gun. Good outing for Jose Alvarado, who things always get interesting with him, right? So he 14-pitch walk, he gets gassed, he then goes on to walk Juan Soto, but he gets Josh Bell to strike out swinging to end the inning. So Jose Alvarado proves to be the stopper, keeps the lead going in a one-run game. And here's where things come up clutch for the Phillies. They finally, add some runs. Alec Bohm, who was not used in that earlier situation, he comes up following an Odubel Herrera double. He gets a double of his own. That scores Odubel, makes it 4-2. A little bit later on in the inning, Andrew Knapp, who had to check into this game. One of the biggest storylines I haven't even hit from this game yet is that JT Realmuto took a foul ball off the knee. Now, it doesn't sound like it's expected to be too serious. Joe Girardi sounded rather optimistic in his post-game press conference that this will not be some sort of long injured list stint for JT Realmuto, but he did have to come out of the game. So Andrew Knapp comes in, he singles to left center. That scored Bohm and Andrew McCutchen, and this is following McCutchen reaching base on a walk. So now the Phillies are up 6-2. This was the blow they needed. This was the outing out of the bullpen they needed. Connor Brogdon comes in to pitch in the eighth. Hector Neris comes in to pitch in the ninth. A clean night, no earned runs for this bullpen. It was asked to pitch four innings after all that because Chase Anderson still only went five and allowed two runs in the top half of the sixth. Bullpen, four clean innings, no earned runs. This Phillies team, despite surrendering bases loaded, nobody out, was unable to score. Later in the game, a lacking Nationals offense, you know, the problems do go both ways. They had bases loaded, were unable to score anybody. So baseball, certainly an interesting game, a game of opportunities and capitalizing when you can. I thought Girardi, he mismanaged Chase Anderson, and there is a little bit of hindsight bias there for sure. I get it. Chase Anderson hadn't allowed a hit since the first inning, and you don't want to use this bullpen when you don't have to. But you know that Chase Anderson is not a guy that is effective the third time through the lineup past the fifth inning. And you have a chance there to blow the game open for a team that has been plagued by the inability to blow the game open late. You have the bases loaded, already up three runs on the road where this team struggles. Like, it was all so perfect for Joe Girardi to put his foot on the gas right there, and he didn't do it, and it almost cost the Phillies the game. Unfortunately, they got another chance later in the game to win by four. Hector Neris didn't do his usual high wire act, as I like to call it, in the ninth inning, because it wasn't a close game. He did allow a couple of base runners, but fortunately, it did not end up mattering. Phillies go on to win this one 6-2 in a much-needed spot behind Chase Anderson. The offense came alive, could have come alive a lot more. And, you know, who's to say what Alec Bohm or any other pinch hitter would have done in that spot. But I would have liked to see, I don't think anyone could have gotten mad that you only got five innings out of Chase Anderson, is what I'm trying to say, because you tried to go for the win right there. If Joe Girardi in his post-game press conference said, this is a team that we score a lot of runs, we score a couple of runs early, then we struggle to do anything else throughout the course of the game, especially on the road where we've struggled. We needed this game tonight, and I just felt that we had to try and step on their throats there in the sixth inning because we had the bases loaded and nobody out, and we don't want to concede an at-bat in a high-leverage spot like that. I don't think anyone could have complained in that particular case. Instead, he keeps Anderson in the game, fortunately gets away with it, but what I believe to be another head-scratching decision by this manager who was brought here to bring a winning culture to this team and add wins to this team. And I just have not seen it as of yet. But the Phillies do get a much needed 6-2 win over the Washington Nationals. Credit where credit is due. This means they improve to 19-17 on the season. Still a game back in the National League East. But again, you know, perhaps too early is what I'm trying to say. Too early to look at standings at this point in the season. But they do get back to a couple of games above 500 and now have a great opportunity to actually win a series down in D.C. behind the two Zachs, Wheeler and Eflin. I think they have a great opportunity to do so, and I think it's a spot they certainly need to take advantage of. More of the Locked On Phillies podcast coming up on the other side of the break, where we'll preview tonight's game and kind of what I'm looking for in the remainder of this national series. But first, I want to tell you about BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at betonline.ag. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, the NBA, NHL, and your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all of the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get in the game as teams prep for the runs to the postseason. Head to the website or use your mobile device today to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Game two of a three-game set tonight down at Nats Park. Phillies and Nationals 7:05. A great opportunity for this Phillies team to take on a road series and actually win a road series for once. This team struggles mightily on the road. They steal game one down in Nats Park. I think they certainly have the pitching advantage here in game two. It'll be Zach Wheeler going up against John Lester, the 37-year-old John Lester. He's been around a while, dating back to 2006. Had tons of time, of course, with the Red Sox, a little stint with the A's, the Cubs, and now he's in Washington. And this is not a guy with swing and miss stuff. It's not a guy who's being stretched out deep into games. He's pitched twice this year, going five innings in each of those. He pitched a scoreless five innings against the Marlins on April 30th and allowed three runs to the Braves on May 6th. So his ERA right now is 2.70, but that's certainly slanted. This guy is hittable. It's at the bottom end of this Nationals rotation. There's absolutely no reason. He's, as I said, does not have swing and miss stuff. This is a great opportunity for this offense to try and capitalize on even some of the missed opportunities they had in Monday night's ballgame, try and get into that Nationals bullpen a little bit early. And for the Phillies, they have a guy that they really like. He's probably been the best pitcher on the team so far this season in Zach Wheeler, coming off a complete game shutout against the Milwaukee Brewers back on May 6th. A tremendous outing. He's been great this year, a 2.83 ERA. Certainly would love to see him pitch a great game down in Nats Park. And again, an opportunity. How does this team respond? They have now one win in a row. They couldn't string two wins in a row until that home series against the Brewers last week when they strung four together in a row. They actually got five wins total in a row, a sweep against the Brewers and one in Atlanta. How does this team respond? They got a win against the Nationals. Can they actually win two in a row? Can they win a series on the road? Can they salvage this road trip and get a much-needed divisional win? They have the pitching advantage in their favor. They had to get four innings out of their bullpen on Monday. Hopefully, Zach Wheeler can stretch later into this game with Chase Anderson. I would get the situation and get the decision-making behind Joe Girardi's I would get Joe Girardi's thought process, is what I'm trying to say, in that game back on Monday night where he's leaving him in to bat in the sixth inning to try and get a sixth inning out of your starter. But that was Chase Anderson we're talking about. Zach Wheeler is a guy who you can feel that he is reliable going deep into games. Again, pitched a complete game last week against the Brewers. He went seven innings in the start before that, eight innings and just one run the start before that in St. Louis. He's gone seven innings, six and a third also in starts so far this year. This guy knows how to go deep into ballgames, how to be effective deep into ballgames. He had the best year of his career last year in a Phillies uniform. Seems like he's certainly carrying that over to this year. The Phillies could really use a big start out of him. And then you have a chance maybe, not to get too ahead of ourselves here, but to try and get a sweep on Thursday with Zach Eflin on the mound. So again, it'll be Zach Wheeler going up against John Lester, a righty versus a left-hander. So it should be a good one, a nice chance for the Phillies offense to get going. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast. Be sure to subscribe, follow the podcast at @LO_Phillies, and be sure to follow my personal Twitter account at @Dan_Wilson4. Get all the sports news you need in less than 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.